The title of today's message is Understanding the Godhead, Part 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." So up to this point, we see that the Lord our God is one Lord, and there is no God with Him. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee." In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35, "Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God, there is none else beside Him." This is very important to understand. Now we know that God is one Lord, and there is no God with Him, neither is there any God beside of Him. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 through 11, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Here we see that not only is there no God with Him or beside of Him, there also was no God formed before Him, neither shall there be any God created after Him. In James chapter 2, verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So we have just read in Isaiah that the Lord said, "Beside me there is no Savior." Now listen to what it says in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Here we see that God said, "Beside me there is no Savior." And we just read in Acts that there is no salvation in any other name but Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." This verse tells us that God manifested Himself in the flesh as Jesus. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, Apostle Paul explains Jesus Christ's role in the Godhead. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ." Notice in these verses that Paul desires all the people to be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto the riches of the understanding of the mystery of God, the Father, and of the Christ. The three things he mentioned was the mystery of God, the Father, which is God, and of Christ, which is the Anointed One of God. In verse 3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." For though I, Paul, be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hear the reason to be rooted in the faith. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is very important. We have just learned that in Jesus is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. An example of what Paul was referring to when he said in verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit," would be the Trinitarian doctrine. One can go research the two councils that were responsible for this change in the teaching of Christ. They are the Council of Nicaea and the Council of Constantinople. This is a prime example of being spoiled by man's philosophy and vain deceit. They took place hundreds of years after Jesus' death and the teachings of the gospel. They were presented in a controlled environment in a biased group of men and enforced by emperors of Rome. So the next question is it possible for anyone to know the mystery of the Godhead? The answer to this question is yes, according to Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Apostle Paul is addressing all the people in Rome. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Again, verse 20 very clearly states that even His eternal power and Godhead can be understood. So to recap what we have learned thus far, we now know that God is one Lord, that there is no God with Him or beside of Him, that there was no God formed before Him, neither shall there be any God created after Him, and that beside Him there is no Savior, and that there is no other name but Jesus Christ, given under heaven whereby we must be saved. We also learn that in Jesus Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ can be understood. The next scripture that will help to better understand the Godhead is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now we see that Jesus Christ is God with us. In John chapter 14 and verse 9, listen to Jesus' reply to Philip. Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Now listen to something very important. In John chapter 16, verses 23 through 25, we find out that Jesus spoke in Proverbs concerning the Father. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." You may be wondering what a proverb is. A proverb is a short saying stating a truth or piece of advice. To better understand this proverb concerning the father, let's read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This was a Bible prophecy concerning the birth of Jesus Christ, stating that he would be the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. Now recall Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There is only one. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. There is only one body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. There is only one Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There is only one hope, eternal life through our Savior Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. There is only one Lord, Jesus, whom God made both Lord and Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. There is only one faith, the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There is only one baptism, the baptism into the death of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? There is only one God. His name was manifested by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17 and verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. There is only one Father. His name was declared by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17 and verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There is only one door, the door which is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10 and verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. There is only one name. Every knee shall bow before Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. I would like to pose to you a question. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. if Satan had not sinned, and the Son of God then not manifested, would you have any reason to believe that there is a Trinity? Of course not. Why? Because God wouldn't have had to manifest Himself as the Son of God to remove sin from the world.